And I am intentionally redundant because most of the times our minds have been fed so many negative things until we have to keep hammering away at the false concepts with the truth until our individual consciousness accepts the truth and we are set free. I say, whatever good you want, get full of the feeling. If you want to be healthy, and you don't have to be sick to pray the prayer for health, if you want to be healthy all of your days in this dimension, in your consciousness, in your own mind, entertain the thought, the belief, the feeling of health. Get full of the feeling of health, and that will keep you healthy. It will heal you if you're sick.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Hello and welcome to episode number 33 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. My name is Ali West, I am your host as always, and whether you are a brand new listener, this is your first time here on the show, or you are a returning listener, I welcome each and every one of you to the show. Super grateful to have you all here with me listening in. If you are new to the show, this podcast is all about helping you to live a longer, healthier, happier and more joyful life. I do that by covering a different topic each week centered around health and well-being. Some weeks I have a guest on board and we dive into their knowledge, expertise and wisdom on that particular area or subject. Other weeks it's just myself talking about my expertise and my knowledge from over 10 years within the fitness industry. Before we get started with today's episode and before I introduce my guest today, if you haven't already liked, followed, or subscribed to this podcast, then please do so now. Just pause the recording, hit that like, follow, or subscribe button, and you will be updated with all of my latest episodes. Secondly, if you are listening to this on iTunes, you're enjoying the show, you like the information I'm sharing, then please, please, please leave me a review on iTunes. Third and finally, let's share this. If you are enjoying it, you like it, and you want to pass on that information, and you want to help more people as I do to be healthier, then do share this with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you are on social media, particularly Instagram, just take a screenshot of the episode you're listening to, whether it's this one or another one, and share it on Instagram. My handle is Ali West Fitness. Put it in your story, put it on your feed, and I will share it with my followers as well. That's enough about that. Let's get stuck in to today's episode and tell you a little bit more about my guest today. My guest for this episode is Sarah Pianpiano, and Sarah is an American triathlete and Ironman triathlete. She is a professional as well. This isn't some amateur that I've got on board here. She is a full-time professional triathlete. She started her triathlon journey back in 2009 and just did a few amateur races, and then in 2012 she basically quit her job and went full-time professional in the sport of triathlon. Since that, she has competed and won many different events. She has won the New Orleans Ironman triathlon. She has also finished 7th in the World Ironman Championships in Kona in Hawaii. So she's super experienced, she's super good at triathlon, and she has a really inspiring story which I'm keen to share with you guys today. Great story, really inspirational athlete, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode today. So let's not waste any more time. Let's bring in Sarah and let's get cracking with episode number 33 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. How are you today, Sarah?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Thank you so much for taking your time out. I know you're very busy, so I appreciate you spending your time with me on today's podcast episode.
Yes.
Before we get stuck into some of the questions I want to ask, can you just give myself and the listeners a bit of a backstory about who you are, what you've done, and where you are now?
Sure. Well, I'm 38 years old, so I'm a little bit on the older end of the spectrum of professional triathletes. But I'm a former investment banker and worked in finance for a number of years after I graduated from college, and kind of on a whim ended up doing my first triathlon and really loved it and wanted to pursue it a little bit more seriously. And at the end of 2011, I ended up leaving my job and training and racing full time as a professional triathlete, which I've been doing for the last 7 years. So that's where I'm at, and I've been really fortunate enough to be able to do it full time and call it my job and make money from it, which is really hard to do. But it's been quite a journey and a process.
Awesome. You've got a bit of a cool story about how you did your very first triathlon. Can you just share that with the listeners to start off with, how you got stuck into the sport in the first place?
Sure. Yeah. So I was working in banking in New York City. I was working for HSBC, and I was working just really long hours and honestly not doing anything particularly healthy for myself. I had been a Division I athlete in college. Division I is the kind of the highest level of athletics in college. And then when I got out of school, I was really focused on my job, and I was working these long hours, and kind of went down a path of smoking and drinking and just not doing a lot of things that were very healthy for myself. And so I was out at a bar one night with a friend of mine from university, and we were just chatting, and he said he had signed up for this triathlon, and kind of one thing led to another, and we ended up betting who could beat the other person at the triathlon. And so I showed up at the race. I hadn't trained, I hadn't done anything to prepare for it, and went and did my first race. And it was honestly, I mean, it was life-changing for me. I was really inspired by my experience and what I saw and the people that were participating in triathlon and what felt like this really amazing and positive community, and pretty much stopped smoking on the spot and went home and bought a bike and started training. And that was kind of where it all started for me.
That's cool. What was the biggest pull then after you had that bet and you completed the triathlon on no training, which is just crazy, by the way, but when you did that and you completed that first triathlon, what was the big pull for you? Why, what made you want to do more of it and go and do another one and another one and take this really seriously?
I mean, I think at the time, right after that first one, I didn't really know that I wanted to take it seriously, but I think a couple things. I mean, as I mentioned, I was an elite athlete growing up. And so my whole life I had been competing at this really, really high level of sports. And I just had kind of forgotten what it was like to push my body and how much I loved it and how good it felt to do something like that. And so for me, I think the instantaneous draw was just going out and pushing my body hard and feeling the adrenaline and kind of the endorphins from doing that sort of thing. And just, it just felt so good, you know, that my competitive spirit came back and I wanted to do more of it. So I mean, for me, that was a big driver. But beyond that, it was also my experience when I was there. You know, I remember crossing the finish line and there was a woman with a 54 on the back of her calf. And, you know, they put people's ages on the back of their calves in the competitions, and I was like, wow, that woman is 54 and she just did that, and she looks amazing, by the way. Like, she was so fit and like totally ripped. And and while I was out on course, just seeing people who were, you know, a bit overweight or somebody that clearly was very slow, and here they all were pushing themselves and participating in this event, and I was really inspired by that. And like I said, I mean, just to kind of experience the triathlon community firsthand, it was something that I was a little intimidated by before the race, but then the community afterwards and just kind of hanging out and the sense of pride that everybody felt and kind of shared with one another, it was something that I felt was really special. So those are the things that kind of inspired me, I think, to keep going with it. And then, after that first one, I ended up going and doing a second triathlon about 3 months later. And at that one, I had been training and I ended up winning that race. And
awesome.
That at that point is what kind of got the bee in my bonnet that I might be good at the sport. And, maybe it was something that I wanted to take more seriously. So it was at that point I really started thinking about wanting to see what my potential was within triathlon.
That's cool. So that's some of the experiences that you've had and how you took it to the next level. Let's flip that around then. What would you say have been some of the biggest obstacles that you've had in this career that you've had so far, or at least some of the biggest obstacles when you first started?
There's been a lot. I think the number one thing just in terms of racing as a professional is that particularly at the beginning, you're not really making income from sponsors. Like you don't just decide you're going to become a professional triathlete and then all of a sudden all these sponsors come flocking in and want to like pay you tons of money to support yourself. Like that's just not how it works. So initially it was really quite stressful and scary because 100% of your income came from going to races and making money that way. And if you got injured or something went wrong where you couldn't race for a period of time, it created a situation and an environment where you just weren't bringing any money in the door. And that was like pretty stressful. Luckily because I had been working in finance and working in banking, I had some money saved, but I was saving every penny too that I could, because it was just this really, you just didn't know where your next paycheck really was going to be coming from. And that, it just creates this added stress that doesn't even, it inherently puts a lot of pressure on yourself that, ideally would be removed, but that's something that was pretty stressful in the beginning. And then actually for me in 2014, I broke my femur. And that in and of itself was, a pretty stressful experience to recover from that and to come back and get myself back up into top form and shape to be able to compete at the level that I wanted to compete at. But again, it came down to finances, because I was like just hemorrhaging money left, right, and center. I had all these crazy medical bills and I was having to get, physical therapy 5 times a week. And, I was just like spending money. And I would bring no money in because I wasn't able to race for an extended period of time. And it was pretty stressful period for me within my career.
That I can imagine. That sounds pretty bad. I've been injured myself and I know what that's like when you can't do what you love and it's affecting other things in your life. It's not a good situation to be in.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I think too, when you're not actually able to do what you want to be doing, it's where in as a professional triathlete, you rely on your body physically to be able to kind of get to do what you want to do. If you can't do that, you just feel kind of, you end up getting a bit depressed because you're just sort of sitting around and not even really being able to be active or healthy in the way that you really want to be.
How do you stay dedicated and motivated then when you're in that kind of situation? What keeps you driven and focused on what you're doing?
I would say that I went through kind of like these phases of mindset where initially when I broke my femur, initially I thought, okay, well, that's fine. I'll just spend a ton of time in the pool and I'll work on my swim a bunch because I'm a weaker swimmer. And then they said to me, well, you can't swim either because you have to just totally be 100% non-weight bearing. You can't push off the wall. You can't do anything. So there was this period of like 8 weeks where I was literally able to do nothing at all. And at first I was pretty upset. And then I kind of took on the attitude, well, this is a real opportunity for me to truly have a break where I can relax, I can rest, I can sleep in, I can lead a very normal life, because within triathlon, you don't lead a normal life at all whatsoever. And so I kind of embraced it. And then when it was time for me, or the opportunity came up for me to be able to start rebuilding, I was on crutches for like like 4 months. But by July, I was able to kind of start swimming a little bit and things like that. At that point, it was just about doing everything you could to help yourself move forward bit by bit and really focus on healing and things like that.
Cool. So that's what keeps you motivated and driven when you're in a bad situation or when you're injured. But when you're A1 on it and you're in your training and you're coming up towards maybe an event or a competition, what's the drive there? What keeps you motivated and dedicated in leading up to that kind of event or that competition that you might have? Is it the same things or is it different?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the lead up to any race or just in general, I mean, for me on a day-to-day basis, every time I step out to go train, and if it's a recovery session, you know, it's all very focused. I mean, like everything you want to do is to get yourself better so that you can perform better. So even in recovery sessions, it's like, you know, I go out for a ride and rather than thinking about power output or how hard I'm working physically, I'm thinking more about form and doing things on the bike that are going to help me recover. And then in hard training sessions, you know, everyone is just about trying to maximize what you can get out of the session. So on the days when you feel really good, it's about just pushing your limits and seeing how hard you can push. And the days when you don't feel so good, but you're still expected to perform, it's really about trying to be as consistent as possible over the course of the workout and get the most out of yourself that you can. But, you know, with respect to going into races, I think, you know, I think a lot of it's performance driven. You know, you want to show up when you want to be better than you were the last time. And the only way that that's going to happen is to put your head down and to work really hard. And so, you know, if you don't do the work and you aren't putting in the effort, and I think about this, you know, generally both in races and in training, if you're giving up and you're not putting the work in, then the results aren't going to come. So, you know, for me, I never give up on a session. Sometimes I have to adjust my expectations in terms of what my output's going to be. But I think that part of preparing for a race and really being prepared to do your best at a race is also never giving up in training and always just, you know, giving your best on whatever day, you know, it is and whatever that means in whatever capacity.
It's a good attitude to have.
Yeah, thanks.
What does success then mean to you, and what does it look like for you?
That's a good question. I think that you know, I think that I would be lying if I didn't say that placing at races is important to me. You know, I go to races wanting to win, or to the World Championships wanting to be on the podium, or, you know, things like that. So I go into races with really high expectations of myself about how I want to finish within the field. But I would also say that success for me goes beyond just the placing and is also about how, if I feel like I'm performing up to my potential. So an example would be going to a race and winning it, which has happened before, but not actually feeling like I raced that well, even though the win was nice and definitely is a bonus. I still walked away from the race disappointed because I didn't feel like I actually really performed in the way that we had hoped that I would. So I think that success, like within the competition, is definitely twofold in terms of personal performance goals, and then just outwardly how you end up placing in within a race.
That makes sense. That's it's the both, isn't it? It's the success of the reward of being number one, but then also knowing that you got to number one by performing to the highest level.
Right. And I guess similarly too, I mean, there have been races too where I actually have been, I didn't finish where I wanted to, but I haven't, I also was reasonably satisfied with how I raced. And so there is definitely the disappointment of placing, but then the satisfaction of just feeling like I actually did race really well. I guess there's frustration with that, because when you feel like you race well and then you didn't place well, it's a little frustrating. But I mean, sometimes that just happens, you know. The caliber of athlete is so high that, you know, it's actually quite amazing to see the people who are able to show up race after race and win in such a consistent way as some of the best women do.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. My next question was going to be it triathlon and Ironmans, they're such a competitive sport. It's just crazy the level of these athletes. What do you think are the key factors that get you to to be the best, to be number one in that environment because it's so competitive? What would you say are some of the key factors that get you up there?
I just think total commitment to the process. There's definitely talent that's involved in that, but I think talent only gets you so far. And when I say commitment to the process, I think it's to everything. It's, you know, you show up at every training session prepared to do your best, and you don't give up even when things aren't going well. You do everything nutritionally to support your training and races that you can. You know, I think that if you're not eating well or you have a bad diet, that's not really gonna support what you're trying to achieve. You know, I think respecting the people that you're around and, you know, encouraging everybody else to be performing at their best. I think, you know, respecting your competitors when you're at races. Like, I think that there's a lot. It's not just the physical aspect that goes in and not just the training that goes into it. I think that what creates the best athletes in the world are the people who are really able to, who work really, really hard, but have also a pretty good balance in terms of balance being a balanced approach to how they train themselves and prepare themselves to race. You know, they are not just committed to the training aspect, but also to the nutrition and the sleep and the recovery and the attitude that goes with it and everything around that.
Do you think you need to be a little bit crazy as well?
Yes,
Because a lot of people, when you speak to people about triathlon or bigger distances, as you do with the Ironman, people think that's just crazy. That's nuts. Like, how can people do that? So that's what I wanted to say. Do you have to be a bit crazy as well?
yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that it's like,
In a good way, obviously.
yeah, in a good way, but it's crazy. I mean, I would say that there's very few times in an Ironman that, like, I don't think I've ever been an Ironman, maybe one or two, that at some point during the course of the race, I thought to myself, this is nuts. Like, this is totally crazy. And I also actually frequently, if I'm following a friend who's racing and I'm not racing, that is the time when I think it's probably the craziest, because like I'll wake up in the morning, I'll go for a swim, I'll go for a run, I come home, I have breakfast, I like hang out, I go grocery shopping, I do something else. Like, I go through my whole day and they're still not done. And that is sometimes what blows my mind when I think about how long they're out there competing and racing hard for, and like everything that you can do during that period of time that doesn't involve racing. It's just crazy.
Let's talk training for a little while then. What does
What's that?
let's talk about your training regime a little bit.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I take it you're in off season at the moment, is that right?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I finished my last race.
what does your training look like at the moment, and then what does it look like when you're actually in the season, day to day, week to week?
So right now I finished my last race, Ironman Argentina, which was December 2nd, and until the first of the year, I don't have any training plan from my coach, so I'm technically not training in any way. But the expectation is that you remain active. So you allow your kind of body and mind to rest and reset, but stay active and be healthy type of thing. So I took about I would say 10 days where I did absolutely nothing after Ironman Argentina. And then I've been, I would say, doing one to two things every day, but it's just what I feel like, you know? So, the only thing that I've done with any consistency is I do strength twice a week with a strength trainer. So that's something that I have scheduled and I've committed to keeping up. But, you know, this morning I went and I did some practice this morning and, you know, tomorrow I'm gonna go for a run, and I have only ridden my bike once since I'm in Argentina. So I just, you know, I've been actually feeling really burned out of riding and just really wanting to take a break from that. So most of what I've been doing has been just running or swimming. But it's just for me, just trying to get out and do something active and move my body once a day or twice a day, sometimes even, but not that frequently. And then once my training starts back up, it's obviously much more structured and full on. So my typical training day will be anywhere from 3 hours to 8 hours. Particularly during the base building period, your hours can actually be a little bit higher because you'll do some
It's all about the
long
volume, right?
endurance rides and longer endurance runs, and so the intensity may not quite be there, but you're just sort of like base building again. So, you know, I would say definitely swim, bike, run probably 4 days a week, and the other 3 days I do at least two of those things. And then I strength train twice a week, so that's kind of what it looks like. It usually is like somewhere between, historically, it's usually been somewhere between like 27 and 35 hours a week.
Hardcore. Love it. That was brilliant.
So right now I'm probably doing about, I don't know, 10 hours or maybe a little bit more of, you know, exercising right now. Like an hour to an hour and a half a day.
One thing that I'm interested to know about is with it being with triathlon being the three disciplines. And obviously, you're going to be stronger in one or two more than the other. How do you work on the weaker discipline, but still keep the others ticking over and keep them balanced, if that makes sense? Because your weakness is swimming, right? Is that, or I don't, weakness is maybe not the wrong word, but the one you're not as good at.
We've gone through some phases with that for me. I mean, running is my strength and swimming is my weakness, and there have been periods that we have done a significant swim focus, and that will involve me swimming twice a day, pretty much every day, and then probably 3 or 4 times a week I'll swim twice a day. And so if I, on the days I'm swimming twice a day, I may ride and run too, but it's going to be a little bit more limited. So my riding and run volume might come down a little bit. But I've also gone through periods where we've de-emphasized the swim, or not de-emphasized the swim, but you know, when I'm at swim practice, it's highly focused and there's a continued focus on technical development and things like that. But there hasn't been quite the focus on true swim development in the way that, you know, other periods have been. And during those periods, we've actually chosen to focus on my strength, which is running, with the idea that we definitely feel like I haven't come close to reaching my potential, or you know, where we think I can be on the run. And so spending some time developing my strength actually further to try to reach that potential is just as important as developing your weaknesses. So I think it kind of goes in phases a little bit. I'm going back to a swim focus actually at the start of 2019, So I'll be doing quite a bit of swimming and doing a lot of technical work there.
Perfect. For the people listening into this podcast episode, then, that want to maybe get into triathlon or want to follow in your footsteps, so to speak, what tips would you give to those guys? Maybe two or three key tips to get them going with their journey with triathlon.
Things I would say to join a club. I think that that just can be really helpful because triathlon's kind of an intimidating sport to get into. It's swim, bike, and run, which I think a lot of people probably have some anxiety either around swimming or around cycling, or they just hate to run. So there's usually at least one sport that brings some stress or anxiety to most people. So I think having a group of people around you to motivate you and help you overcome either any fears or stress around that can be a really good thing. I think that because it is swim, bike, and run, and it's kind of an intimidating sport, there's a lot of people tend to have a lot of questions around what to do when it comes to a triathlon. And if you have a community of people around you, they can support you in answering your questions and kind of guiding you through that process of getting to your first triathlon or your first 7.3 or your first Ironman. It's just like so great to have that kind of support. So I think that those are all really good things. And I think my other tip would be to try to keep it as light as possible. And what I mean by that is I do think because triathlon is three sports, there's a little bit more time that's required to invest in preparing for a triathlon. And as a result of that, I find, and like what I've observed, is a lot of amateurs get pretty serious about it quite quickly. And sometimes you kind of lose your whole purpose of why you're doing it in the first place, which is to have fun and do something healthy for yourself. So I just say kind of make sure to try to keep it light and keep it fun and remember
Enjoy
why you're
it.
doing it and don't put too much pressure on yourself. I think a lot of people take themselves way too seriously in the sport. So.
Yeah. Go out and get all the gear and then go a bit too crazy with it.
Yeah, and the one thing I would say to that is like I also see people getting burned out of the sport within a few years or pretty quickly. And I think a big part of that is they do their first one, they get so into it. I'm guilty of that myself. I did it and I was like, oh, this is amazing, and I got so into it. And they get so into it and then they are focused, 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 and then they just totally burn themselves out. But I don't know, I just think that keeping it fun and laid back is a great thing to do.
Yeah, makes sense. I don't know if you knew this, but in the UK over the last couple of years, triathlon and cycling have been the two biggest areas for uptake in the UK. So more and more people have been joining cycling clubs, triathlon clubs. It's like, in terms of competition and taking part, it's the biggest increase across any sport here in the UK.
Wow.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think the popularity has raised in the last few years?
I mean, I think that I definitely think that one of the things that the triathlon does is it challenges people to move outside of their comfort zone in a way that very few sports do. So, of course, running a marathon is a wonderful accomplishment and it's hard to do and you have to train for it. But I don't think that most people would say that they're scared of running. But I would think that if you ask most people, triathlon intimidates them in some way. And I think that one of the attractions of it is you do it and you end up feeling it's very empowering. You feel quite proud of yourself because for a lot of people it means overcoming a fear that they have. For me, I've always been afraid of swimming, and so even now as a professional, it's like I often feel quite proud of myself for getting through a big swim set or going and swimming in open water or something like that because it just brings me a lot of anxiety. So I think that's kind of a big draw, and then I definitely think that career-driven people tend to be drawn towards triathlon just because people with type A personalities really seem to like and thrive in the triathlon world. And, you know, I think with respect to cycling, my guess is that it's a great way to get out and get a lot of exercise and have it not be too hard on your body. I think with running, a lot of people don't like to run. It's hard on their body, but it is really good form of exercise versus cycling. Unless you're having a bike accident, God forbid, because that's terrible. Cycling doesn't tend to cause a lot of injuries, and it's just a really good, great way to get out and get a really good workout out in. So,
do you think as well it's because you can improve quite quickly with the sport as well? I mean, unless somebody's really blessed, they're not going to naturally be good at all three, but they will start to notice very quick improvements. Do you think that's maybe another reason for it as well, why people are getting into it and people are attracted to it?
For sure, for sure. Because even, you know, like somebody like me, you can still be a bad swimmer, but then you can improve in your cycling and running and see these like great improvements. And also I think too, most people have some weakness within the three disciplines. So you can be a participant in this sport and have a weakness and still see the gains and see the improvements and feel like you're making progress. And that's kind of an exciting thing.
Talk to me then about, other than quitting smoking, what have been some of the biggest benefits and the biggest results you've got since you started doing triathlon, and since back in, was it 2009 you started? What's been some of the best benefits, the best results that you've seen for you, for yourself personally?
I think that, to be honest, I think that it has, as somebody who, as a kid, I was so involved in sports and very competitive. It's just brought me back to, and then kind of losing my way a bit, like it's just brought me back to this lifestyle that's centered around health and wellness and like doing something really good for yourself and your body. And that's something that I've had a great appreciation for. And I think once I retire from racing professionally, having discovered triathlon, it's transformed my life in such a way that I will always be a healthy individual going forward now, you know, whether or not I'm doing triathlon, you know, like I want to run marathons and maybe do some ultra marathons and, you know, do some mountain biking races and things like that. Like it's reignited for me that desire to lead a really healthy lifestyle, which is something that I lost at some point along the way. So for me, that's kind of, I don't know, it's just a really nice thing to think about. Cause I feel like I'm on a track in my life, that I feel really good about from that perspective. I also think that, and this was something that I wouldn't have thought about or really expected, but, you know, I worked in finance before, and everybody that I surrounded myself with were also people that worked in finance. Like, all of my friends were finance people. And one of the wonderful things about triathlon is it brings together people from all walks of life. You know, you have the people who are, work in finance, and the people who maybe work for the government, and the people who are teachers, and the people who are bakers, and the people who are personal trainers, or, you know, whatever. I mean, like, we all come from very, very, very different backgrounds, and you end up forging these relationships and friendships with people that I would have never had created had it not been for triathlon. And for me, that's just been a really awesome thing. It's been so cool.
Change your life for the better then.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Love that. What about then, regrets and maybe mistakes. Do you have any regrets in your triathlon career? I know you probably, everyone makes mistakes and you would have made mistakes, but are there any regrets that you've had over the last 7 or 8 years that you've been doing this sport?
I wouldn't say that I have any regrets, actually, no. I think that we all, you'll make decisions and do things, and things happen either positive or negative, and you kind of deal with the consequences. But I generally, I don't have any regrets. The one thing that I will say is that triathlon is a pretty consuming endeavor. And for me as a professional, the result of that has been less time focused on important relationships in my life. And I feel like as a result of that, those relationships have suffered. And it's something that I recognize because, you know, it's like I'm not training all day, I'm not in front of a computer or by a phone. So, like, I can't just, you know, shoot off emails or have a phone conversation with friends or, you know, at night when people are going out and socializing, I'm going to bed early, so I'm not really, you know, fostering those relationships or family outings or gatherings or friends' birthdays or bachelorette parties or, you know, any of these things that are going on. Oftentimes I can't go because I'm away at a race or training camp or in the middle of a training block or something like that. So I've missed out on a lot of stuff, and that has all been something that I have been really accepting of my entire career. But I think that it's something that I look forward to when my career is over, is getting back to a place where I can focus on the relationships that I have in my life and are really important to me, because I definitely think they've kind of taken a back burner, and that's just the way that it has to be, you know, in a lot of aspects. But it's something that I probably have struggled with most within my career.
You just got married there, right?
I did, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
What about then your biggest or your best memory, sorry? What's the thing that stands out the most for you in your professional triathlon career? If you could say this one moment or this one time, that's the real memory that sticks in my mind from my whole career, what would that be?
I think Kona 2015, when I finished seventh, it was just
This is the
so
Ironman World Championships, right?
the Ironman World Championships. And by way of background, I started racing professionally in 2012. I qualified and raced in the World Championships as a professional in 2012, but I was a first year pro and I was coming in, and I think I finished like 20 something. I don't even know what my placing was, but I finished way back in the field. The second year, 2013, I qualified, but I chose not to go because my coach and I had decided that unless I was in contention for the top 10, it wasn't really worth going again. So I passed on my slot. 2014, I had a broken leg, so I missed out. Come 2015, that was sort of my comeback year from having this broken leg. And every race I did, I was getting better and better and better. And I showed up at the World Championships. And on one hand, I had this goal of getting the top 10. But on the other hand, I wasn't on anybody's radar. Nobody was considering me to be, you know, a top contender in any way. And I just had this like really great race, ended up finishing seventh, and kind of came out of nowhere. And it was just one of those moments. I think sometimes when you have those moments that you're not expecting, they're just that much sweeter, you know? And every year since then, I've gone into Kona with this expectation of trying to win or finish in the top five or finish on the podium. And so you've lost that naivety and lack of expectation that you have that first time when you have a breakout race. And so that was probably my sweetest memory, and one of the things that I love the most.
Was that one of those days where everything just came together and everything felt right? Because if it was, I know what that feels like, because I used to, not so much now, but I used to run a lot of half marathons and distance races. And the one time I got my PB, I just felt like everything fell into place and went right. Was that the same kind of thing that happened with you on that day.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was one of the very few races where I really feel like I raced up to my potential at that point in my career. I didn't have a good swim that day. I was second to last out of the water. But I remember being on the bike and just like not even thinking that I was riding that hard. In fact, I felt like I was sort of like holding back and just passing all these people that were really amazing athletes and thinking, what is going on? I can't believe I've caught them already. And same thing on the run, just getting off the bike and feeling so great on the run. And just, it was great. It was a great race and a great feeling to experience that.
The future then, we're coming towards the end of 2018, heading into 2019. What's on the horizon? What are the goals for the next year and beyond that? What does the future look like, and what does the future hold for Sarah?
I think for me, Kona will continue to be a big focus. It is the World Championships, but beyond just being the World Championships, it's a race and a course that I believe that I can race really well on. And so it's for me one of the key focuses of the year. My goal being to get on the podium. But beyond that, particularly for 2019, there's two real focuses for me. One is putting a big focus on my swim. It's been a real challenge to try to make the improvements that I've wanted to make, and we've tried a bunch of different things, but we sat down at the end of this season, 2018, and talked about it and kind of created a recommitment to trying to figure that out. Because, for example, this year in Kona, had I made the pack that I hope to swim with, it would have put me definitely in sixth place, potentially in fifth place, versus finishing in 11th place. And the reason I finished in 11th was largely because of my swim, not because of how I rode my bike or how I ran. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is actually putting a big focus on my run. We think that I can run 115 off the bike and a half Ironman, and maybe 250 off the bike and an Ironman. So I need to put a big focus on my run development there and getting to that place. And so I think that we're going to be spending a lot of time working on that.
Awesome. Focus. It's good to have the focus.
Thanks.
It's the time when everybody's doing it, but most people don't do it right. But that's another podcast. Okay, I believe I've got most of the information I've wanted to get from you today, and I've really enjoyed speaking to you, Sarah. I really appreciate your time, and it's been inspirational to listen to your journey and share your wisdom with the listeners, and for me to get that wisdom from you as well. Before we wrap things up, I always end my podcast in the same way, which is finishing with a favorite quote. And this can be a quote that you live by, or it could be one of your own, or something that motivates you. But can you just wrap the podcast up and leave us with a favorite quote to finish?
I actually have two. One is go on with a spirit that fears nothing, which I think is a really great way to live your life.
And sums you up.
And the other one is success is the sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out, which for me is always a reminder that it's not the big effort to the big days when things go really well. It's about doing all the small things to make the big things happen.
Love it. Perfect. Thank you so much. We'll leave it there for
Thank you.
today.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Awesome. That's a wrap on episode number 33 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and a great story and inspirational information that Sarah shared with us there. As always, if you need any further help, do not hesitate to get in touch. You can contact me directly via my email or my Instagram. All the contact details are in the description of this podcast. And that's it for this week, and I look forward to sharing some more great information with you next week. Until then, have a great week. Peace and love.